talk today is called Cultivating Joy and Ease. So I wanted to start with a few lines from the Dhammapada, which is some of the writings of the Buddha. Live in joy, in love, even among those who hate. Live in joy, in health, even among the afflicted. Live in joy, in peace, even among the troubled. Look within, be still. Free from fear and attachment, know the sweet joy of the way. So when you sort of hear that, it sounds quite nice, and you think, oh yeah, that's nice, and sort of move on. But if I sort of really look into that, I actually find it quite confronting in a way. So I'll come back to that. But in Buddhism, there's something called the seven factors of awakening. And they're mindfulness, investigation of phenomena, diligence, ease, joy, concentration, and letting go. And so joy is not just the fruit of enlightenment, but it's also actually prerequisite. So it's actually part of the factor that leads to what, you know, might be called enlightenment. And so I can understand that on one level. So on one level, of course, we don't want to add more misery to the world. There's a lot of hateful discourse around, so we don't want to add more hateful discourse. And also, you know, if we are sort of miserable and suffering, then it's quite easy to not act skillfully towards ourselves and towards others, to sort of act in a way that are harmful in some way, so we can either project the suffering onto others, or we can live in denial and distracting ourselves. And there's this great saying by Oscar Wilde, some cause happiness wherever they go, some whenever they go. So obviously we don't want to be the ones that are causing suffering wherever we are. And another aspect of that is just to have some gratitude for the riches of the life that we've been given. And when you think about it, it's actually quite mind-blowing that we're not conscious of any other planet that has anything like the life we have here, like not even a tiny fraction of the life we have here. So you can sort of see how joy, you know, can sort of be quite positive. And the other thing about Buddhism is that the Buddha, the statues of the Buddha, always have the gentle half smile. So we don't see the Buddha there frowning and going, oh, you know, this is all terrible. But instead sort of sitting there quite calm and with a gentle half smile. But when I sort of think about it more deeply, I actually found myself associating joy with a sort of sense of complacency if I'm really focused on joy. So I'll just read it once more and just see if that resonates for you at all. Live in joy, in love, even among those who hate. Live in joy, in health, even among the afflicted. Live in joy, in peace, even among the troubled. Look within, be still. Free from fear and attachment, know the sweet joy of the way. So I find myself, you know, if I'm thinking about being joyful, I feel that maybe it's being complacent, ignoring all the difficulties that are happening around us, a sense of being isolationist, like, you know, I just want my little garden and my house and do my renovations and be sort of quite self-centered. So it sort of has those sort of feelings that sort of come up for me. And that sense of having the head in the sand and ignoring the suffering that's around. And I know that that's not really how it's meant, but it's just sort of an emotional response I have when I think about actively cultivating joy in our practice. So another discourse the Buddha said, that gladness connected with the wholesome, I call an equipment of the mind, an equipment for developing a mind that is without hostility and ill will. So it's a sense really that the joyful mind is actually a tool that we can use to cultivate the qualities that will be helpful in our practice. Another one of the seven factors of awakening is a sense of ease. And again, it's a little bit like joy, you know, you sort of feel like sense of ease can again feel a bit complacent. And of course, our practice, when we look at it, you know, from the outside, it may feel anything but easeful, you know, because being at ease, you know, you have a holiday and you go for a walk on the beach, and here we are sitting still and often forced to sit still at times when we really don't want to. Maybe sometimes the practice can be very confronting or actually be painful emotionally or physically. So it's sort of hard to think, like, how does the sense of ease come into the practice? But over time, what I've certainly found is that there is a greater sense of being at ease with the way that things are, and not constantly trying to force life to be something that it's not. And one of the differences I've noticed with sessions, our session is the multi-day intensive that we practice, and there's a lot of sitting still, and the rest of the day is fairly structured as well. So there's a lot of sense of, you know, you're doing this and you're doing that. And in the early years when I used to go to session, I found the sitting periods and the walking periods quite difficult at times. And then I always remember going for a walk down near the Yarra and thinking, ah, at last, you know, I've got my freedom and I can walk. And what I noticed in the last few years is that it's not really that sense anymore. So sometimes I'm meditating and sometimes I'm walking and sometimes I'm washing dishes. And it's just, you know, I'm just doing this and I'm doing that. So it's a greater sense of ease, just being with the practice as we are. So that can be one of the fruits of practice, is a greater sense of ease. But again, here it can also be one of the things that helps us with practice. And of course, the diligence is part of it as well, the discipline, but not in a forceful way, but bringing that sense of ease into the practice. Another way that joy is talked about very commonly in Buddhism is with the four Brahma Viharas. Which are the four qualities that the Buddha said were really key to the Buddhist path. So even for someone who maybe is not a Buddhist, so he was talking to a Brahmin and saying, you know, even if you don't want to become a Buddhist, but you develop these four qualities, that'll be almost like, you know, that'll be basically the Buddhist path anyway. And the four Brahma Viharas are compassion, loving kindness, mudita, which is sometimes translated as sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And so that's another one where, you know, that sense of joy is actually highly encouraged in Buddhism. And sympathetic joy is it's often translated as joy for the happiness of others. So when others experience something happy, that you're happy for them, instead of being slightly jealous or envious, you know, at their good luck, you're actually happy for them. But it can also be joy for our own happiness. When something goes well for us, we can also have that sense of joy. And I've been listening to some Dharma talks by Yuka Nakamura, who's actually Swiss. So she's saying this, talking about these four Brahma Viharas in German. And in German, it's called wertschätzende Freude, which actually translates as a joy which appreciates, and something which values and appreciates joy. So it's actually that valuing and appreciation of joy, which I found was a really sort of nice other lens of looking at that sense of mudita, valuing and appreciating joy. With the Brahma Viharas, we have what's called the far enemy, which is the opposite quality. So in the sense of, and in terms of mudita, that would be envy and jealousy. That's pretty obvious if you're, you know, resentful of someone's good fortune, and that's the opposite of mudita. But the near enemy is often an interesting one to explore. And in the case of mudita, it's often described as overexcited joy. So it's sort of joyful, but it's not very grounded. And it makes me think a bit like birthday parties, you know, everyone's a bit over, the children's birthday party, everyone's a bit overexcited and tends to often end in tears. And I remember once walking past the zoo at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and all the children were leaving with their families, and most of them were crying because they were so overexhausted. And yeah, so it's kind of that sort of slightly overexcited joy, which is kind of looks a bit like joyfulness, but it's actually, and that kind of gives us a bit of a clue, I think, about how we can maybe think about joy in the Buddhist context as something that's quite grounded. So Thich Nhat Hanh's also written some really nice things about joy in our practice. And so we did, like a quote by him is, joy comes from touching things that are refreshing and beautiful within and outside of ourselves. So I'll just read that once more. Joy comes from touching things that are refreshing and beautiful within and outside of ourselves. And he sort of describes it as expanding our vision of what is right, so having that sense of what is good and right in our life and expanding our vision of that. So I'll just finish once more with the last verse of the Dhammapada. Look within, be still, free from fear and attachment, know the sweet joy of the world, of the way.